Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be commencing today's shiur is found at the lower part of Daf Yud Amud Beis. You will notice 5 lines from the bottom. Toward the end of the line, there's a 2 dots, beginning with the words Tnan Hosom. Before we actually learn the Gemara in the text, let us look at the side of our Gemara, our marked Shas Ozer. You see a topic heading called Nosei. Under that, we've written Knisas Domim Lehechal Poiselis Korbonos, the bringing in, the entrance of the blood of Korbonos. After a korban, after a sacrifice was slaughtered, the dam, the blood, was received in a service vessel. If the dam was then brought in, if the blood was brought into the Hechal, the sanctuary, that will ruin the korban. The expectation is that after the slaughtering, the blood is then taken to the Mizbeach in the courtyard and is sprinkled or is cast on the Mizbeach, on the altar that is there. However, if the dam was brought into the sanctuary, the enclosed structure of the Beis HaMikdash, that would ruin the korban. Nosei ze shonui b'machlokes tanoim. This topic is the subject of a Tanaic controversy. Rabbi Akiva holds that this halacha of ruination of korban as a result of blood entering the hechal applies to kol domim, the blood of all korbanos. According to the Chachomim, rak chatos. According to Rabbi Eliezer, chatos ve'osham. As we continue in the Gemara, we will then see some geometric forms. After learning the Machlokes Tanoim, we'll then pay attention to the geometric forms and what they represent. Therefore, at this point, let's go into the Gemara text itself, Tanan Hosam. You see a framed section here at the bottom of the page. In our marking system, we attempt to frame off all those sources that are of Tanaic origin. This Tanaic source says, Shoya Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kol Domim Shenichnesu Lehechal Lechaper Psulim. The blood of all korbanos that enters the hechal will render the korban posel. Rabbi Akiva darshens a posuk that features a korban chatos, but the posuk says v'chol chatos asher yuva midoma. Once again, it says v'chol chatos, and Rabbi Akiva sees in the word v'chol an inclusion, an attempt to include other korbanos as well. Rabbi v'chachomim omrim. The source goes on to say, Chatos bilvad, that the blood of a chatos alone will render, if it enters the hechal, will render it unfit. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af ha'osham, not only the chatos, but an osham as well. Shenemar, kachatos ka'osham. There's a pasuk in the Torah that compares an osham to a chatos. And as a result of that, Rabbi Eliezer is of the feeling that the entrance of osham blood into the hechal will ruin it as well. At this point, the Gemara now goes over a couple of the Tanoim that we just saw and seeks out to understand their sources. Bishlama Rabbi Eliezer, Kide Ko'omar Taima. Rabbi Eliezer works out well. He cited as is cited in the source. He said, Kachatas Ko'asham. There is a hekish, a comparison between the Osham with the Chatas. Elo Rabbonon Maitamayu, the Rabbonon who say Chatos alone, what is their reasoning? In other words, is there not a Hekesh? Before we go further, it might be appropriate just to cite the basic Pasuk in the Torah that addresses this issue of blood entrance. It's found in Vayikra Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The pasuk says, "V'chol chatos," and we've included this pasuk on the margin of your Gemara. V'chol chatos asher yuva midama el ohel moed l'chaper b'kodesh lo se'ochel bo'esh tisareif. Pasuk indicates that the blood that enters the hechal causes the korban to, instead of being eaten, it causes it to be burnt, indicating that the korban is rendered unfit. At this point, though, the Gemara is asking the Rabbanon who limit this prohibition to a chatas, what is their basis? Is there not a hekesh? So, at this point, we see a geometric form, we see a bow tie, and also to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a number one. If you follow up onto Daf Yud Aleph, Omer Aleph, you will skim down the from the top on the to, also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text till you find a number two. And you'll see it at the upper part of Daf Yud Aleph. In fact, there is a bow tie with a number two off to the side. This is explained under our Mivneh heading here at the bottom of Yud Amid Beis. We see a Mivneh means structure, and we see a bow tie form, and our marking system and our pre-marked Gemaras, we try to explain sugya by sugya where what the role of the markings are. So here we have a bow tie featured. Nisyonos, attempts, lahasbir, to explain, maita mayu de rabbonon de rak, chatos nifseles, beknisas doma lehechal avalo osham. To explain the rabbonon who say that only the blood of a chatos that enters ruins the korban and not that of an osham. We'll also see, as the Gemara goes on, another geometric form, a trapezoid, or sometimes referred to as a volcano shape. And we're entitling this, or calling this, a ma'akav. Ma'akav means an attempt to keep track of a sugya, of a discussion that goes back and forth. So, with the narrow part facing upwards, this will be a hatsa'ah l'makor, l'chachomim, a suggested source for the Chachamim, and with the shape inverted, d'chiya, a rejection or pirchor, or a question, and it was an undoing of what was said prior. So now let's turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava. Notice we have the next few words are enclosed in a phrase marking, singular quotation marks, which indicates to read this together, read all the words together to get the flavor or the true meaning. Osham nichnas domoi lifnim posul loy motzis amris. To suggest that the blood of an osham that enters the hecha will render the osham unfit, this you cannot say. This is what Rava is saying to explain the chachomim. Why not? Kavachomer me'oila. Based on kavachomer logic, we will discover that osham blood entrance cannot ruin the korban. So how does the kavachomer work? It is as follows. And we continue. Ma oila shehi koliel. We're now at the top of Daf Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph. An ola korban, which is completely burnt, indicating a certain level of importance or severity that we associate with the oila. None of it is eaten by the kohanim. It's completely burnt. And yet we say about something that's so chomor, something that's so severe as the ola, nichnas doma lifnim kshera, if its blood enters the hechal, whether according to the Rabbanan or Rabbi Eliezer, and here the Chachomim are arguing their case, so they're telling Rabbi Eliezer, saying, here, the ola, you will agree that it's chomor, but if its dam enters the hechal, it is kosher, osham she'eno kolil, an osham which is not completely burnt, which in a certain respect is of a lower severity, low kol shekain, then all the more so it shall be kosher, shall be acceptable, even if the dam enters, the dam of the osham enters the hechal. So we now undo this. Ma le'ola, no, you can't prove your case from ola, shekain eino mechaperes. It doesn't have an atonement quality to it. In other words, the ola is not designed to be a source of atonement as the osham is. Now, since the osham is designed to be a source of atonement, it may be that if its dam enters the hechal, it would render it unfit. Well, to this we respond, minchas chote tochiach. Let the case of the minchas chote, this is a meal offering that does offer atonement, And yet, if it enters the Heichal, this meal offering does not become ruined. If we momentarily skip the bracketed section just to maintain the flow, we would then see Ma leminchas chotei. You can't prove anything concerning an osham from the minchas chotei. Shekein eino min zevach. It's not something that's slaughtered. So, being that it's not a min zevach, it's not an animal that's slaughtered. It's a meal offering. Maybe if it enters, you'll argue it's kosher. It remains kosher, but that's not the case with an osham necessarily. So to that we say back, oila tochiach. Notice how the discussion is flipping back and forth, and you can navigate very easily with our geometric forms as well. The ola will prove that here is something that is a min zevach, but yet if it enters, if the dam enters the heichal, it is not rendered unfit. Before we go any further, let's go over the bracketed section. You'll notice in the margin we've included a little explanation for regarding these brackets, and we've written there matras hasogram. The purpose of these brackets is lahatsmid hapircha lahochacha, to connect, to attach the rejection to the proof. In other words, we had on the third line an attempted proof to prove the case of the Osham, and then the undoing of that was the flipping over of that form five lines from the top. So to attach the undoing to the proof, we decided to skip this little section. Besocha sograyim, muva hatsa'a chilufit lehochocha aval nidchisa. Within the brackets, there is after the Gemara suggested that we should learn from the Minchas Chotei, there's a suggestion, well, why not learn from the Chatos Ha'of? And that is rejected. So the Gemara, after the brackets, continues to address the case of the Minchas Chotei, which was mentioned before the brackets. That having been said, let's look at the bracketed section. V'leimo Chatos Ha'of Tochiach. Let the case of the Chatos Ha'of, that's a bird offering that's brought for atonement purposes. Let that prove the case of the Osham. Now, there's a certain assumption right now, and that is if this bird offering is brought in before its blood is sprinkled and it's brought into the Heichal, it won't become posel. So why not prove from that the case of the Osham, which also comes for atonement purposes? If its dam goes into the Heichal, the Osham does not become ruined. However, we can't make the case from the Chatos Ha'of, the Gemara says. Chatos Ha'of bayo de Rebbe Ovin hi. The case of the Chatos Ha'of is a question that's raised by Rebbe Ovin, and it's unresolved. And as a result of that, I can't take a clear stance based on the Chatos Ha'of to exemplify kashrus and hence learn to the Osham. So let us avoid trying to prove anything from the Chatos Ha'of, and we'll rely momentarily on the Minchas Chotei, as was suggested right before the brackets. And the Minchas Chotei, if this atonement meal offering enters the Heichal, it remains kosher. So after the brackets, we saw, well, Ma le Minchas Chotei shekein eino min zevach. Maybe that's why it's kosher, not necessarily by the Osham. So to that we say back, Ola Tochiach, which is a min zevach, let it prove that entrance does not ruin the Chozar Hadin. But the logic will continue to revolve. In other words, if you say, let the Ola prove the case, but we'll say, like we said before on the second line from the top, that you can't learn from Ola because it's not coming for atonement purposes. So we'll end up going in circles. That's the Chozar Hadin. Lo ro'ize kiro'ize. The lo ro'ize kiro'ize. Each element that you bring to try to prove the case of the Osham, we will then show you that each one is not like the Osham. Hatzad Hashava Shebohen, the common denominator between the elements that were brought, we saw the Ola and the Minchas Chotei. Shehein Kotshe Kotshim V'nichnes Lefnim Ksherim. They are considered of high holiness level. that's kodshei kodshim, and we know concerning the ola and the minchas chot, if they enter the heichal, they remain kosher, acceptable. Afani ovi osham shu kodesh kodashim. I too will then include in this the osham, which is as well a kodesh kodashim, of a high holy nature. Venichnas dom lufnim kosher, and even if its blood comes into the heichal, it too will remain kosher. Omar le Rava mi Barnish le Ravashi. Barnish was the name of a place, so Rava from Barnish says to Ravashi, Velifroch, why not challenge this last proof by saying, Ma lahatzat hashava shebahen, shekain ein lahen kitzva. They don't have the common denominator we try to create between an Ola and a Minchas Chote to prove the Asham is not the basis of conclusions, because the Ola and the Minchas Chote don't have a fixed Torah price as to how much one is supposed to spend on those sacrifices. Toimar b'Asham sheyesh lo kitzvah, should I say the same thing with regard to an Asham that does have a fixed Torah price? And therefore, it could be that something like an Oshem that has a kitzvah, maybe if its dam enters the heichal, it won't be kosher. So we're still hard-pressed to find a reason for the Rabbanan that hold that an achatos entrance causes ruination and not that of an Oshem, Ella. And here we see a second approach now, and you can see that's indicated by the bow tie number two, Elohainu Tamayu de Rabbonan, that hold, this is the reason for the Rabbonan, that hold, a chatas alone is nifsal upon its blood entering the heichal. Yomakro, the pasuk says, Domo, this pasuk is in the context of the chatas, it says, Asher yuva mi Domo, and the word Domo is of an exclusionary nature, of a limiting nature, it means its blood, it only its blood. Doma shel zu, velo doma shel acher. The blood of this one, namely the chatos, and not the blood of something else, and not the blood of an osham. The idach, the other opinion that holds not just the chatos, the idach would then be Rabbi Eliezer, who says an osham as well. What does he do with this? Doma, he also sees a limitation, but not to the exclusion of an osham, but rather doma velo bisara. That which ruins a korban is the entrance of the blood and not the entrance of the meat. Meaning, if the meat of the chatos entered the heichal, it would not become posel. However, if the blood of an osham would enter, it would become unfit. The idach, the chachamim, that are memayit osham as well, how do they memayit, how do they exclude meat entrance? V'idach dom, doma. The pasuk doesn't say dam, it says doma. So the extra hey would imply that there's something else to be excluded from passeling, from ruining the korban. Namely, we had at this point, according to the Chachamim, the entrance of the blood of a chatos will ruin it, but not the entrance of its meat. And likewise, we say, according to the Chachamim, the entrance of a chatos alone is ruined, not the entrance of the blood of a chatos alone ruins it, but not the entrance of osham blood. The idach, the Rabbi Eliezer, who holds not only chatos, is subject to ruination, but is there not this double exclusionary possibility? So the Gemara says, Dam domo lo dorish. They don't see an extra exclusion from this pasuk. Therefore, the only thing that's excluded from ruining would be the meat. But we're not going to exclude an osham from being ruined. At this point, the Gemara goes back to the Rabbonan in the Mishnah that took a stand that said an osham that's nishchat shelo lishmo is kosher. In our markings, right before this section, we have a slash. This indicates that as the Gemara continues with this bishlamo l'Rabbonan, we're not continuing in the same sugya that was discussed with till now. Up till this point, we were discussing the issue of blood entrance into the Heichal, and in Machlokas Tanoim, specifically the Machlok, we were engaged in trying to understand the Machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Eliezer. At this point, the Gemara makes a reference to another Machlokas Rabbonin and Rabbi Eliezer. This is a throwback to the Mishnah, so to speak, where they argued concerning a different topic. True, the issue, the umbrella issue, covered the issue of Chatos and Osham. However, here was the issue of Shelo Lishmo. So therefore, to create a sense of break in logical discussion and logical flow, we've chosen to use the slash marking. In a different sense, though, there is a certain element of continuity, in the sense that we're continuing analyzing a machlokasim between Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer concerning Chatas and Osham, but as mentioned just before, we're not continuing at this point with regard to the issue of blood entrance into Heichal. So we continue now in the Gemara. Before actually reading, let's take a look at the topic heading that we have included on the side of the Gemara. Loma Hukash, under our No Say heading, we've written in Loma Hukash Mincha Lechatos Ve'osham. Why is it that in the Torah we find a meal offering compared to a Chatos and to an Osham? Aliba de Chachamim and de Rabbi Eliezer. We have according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Eliezer. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Bishlamo le Rabbonan, things work out well according to the Rabbonan of our Mishnah, the Amri Osham Sheshochtoi Shaloi Lishmoi Kosher. Notice we have a phrase marking around that to make the reading a little easier. The idea being, read together Osham Sheshochtoi Shaloi Lishmo Kosher. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. With that, then Hainu de Iskash Mincho Lechatos Mincho Osham. With that, I will be able to understand the role of the mincha being compared to a chatas and also to an osham. The hekesh just referred to will be the feature of the featured by the section in the brackets. But if we just skip momentarily in order to get a feel of the flow of the Gemara, we just got finished reading Bishlamo le Rabbonan. If we skip the bracketed section, you see Elo the Rebbe Eliezer, Lamai Hilchasa Iskash Mincha Lechatas Umincha L'Osham. But according to Rebbe Eliezer, that holds, and Osham Shelo Lishmo is also Posel, namely there is no difference between a Chatas and an Osham with regard to Rebbe Eliezer. Why does the Torah compare a Mincha to both a Chatas and an Osham? Let's go over the Gemara again, but this time we'll read it straight through with the bracketed section. What we have tried to accomplish by skipping it was, as we mentioned before, to give a feeling of the flow, the logical flow of the Gemara, by saying first Bishlo or Rabbonon, things work out well according to Rabbonon, Elo the Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, things don't work out. Now we have to fill in all of the details. So let's take the Gemara again from the beginning, where you see the dashed underline Bishlamo Rabbanan. This dashed underline, by the way, helps you to contrast the phrase a few lines later at the beginning of the line, where you see Elo the Rabbi Eliezer. However, what about a Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says that things work out according to Rabbanan, the Amri Osham Sheshachta Shelo Lishmo Kosher, that an Osham, if done Shelo Lishmo, if slaughtered Shelo Lishmo, without focused proper intention, it remains kosher. Hainu the iskash mincha lechatos mincha loshem. With that, I can understand the Torah comparison of a mincha on the one hand to a chatos, and on the other hand to an osham. Disanya, and now we see a Tanaic source that's in a frame. We have a new geometric form that we want to take note of. The house form will be highlighting Rebbe Shimon here, and a few lines later. And we've explained on the in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we see the house form appear, and with Rabbi Shimon, Ma Doresh Rabbi Shimon Meha Posuk Kodesh Kodoshim Hi Kachatas V'Cha Osham. Here's the posuk that describes a mincha as being compared to a chatas and an osham. What is the purpose of that hekesh? What does Rabbi Shimon darshan from that? So we see in our markings, the pasuk also is double underlined here, and a few lines later, the Gemara will reveal point one, minochos shenasu shelo lishma. We'll discuss the issue of meal offerings that are processed without the correct focused intention. And number two, avoido bismol, the processing of it, specifically the carrying of the koimetz of the mincha with one's left hand. Generally speaking, avodas hakarbonas is supposed to be done by the right hand, but the issue of the avoda being done bismol will come up momentarily. So we're at the beginning of a Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Shimon, and in the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer quotes a posuk by a korban mincha, Kodesh Kodoshim Hi Kachatas V'Cha'asham. Aleph, Minchas Chote, a mincha brought for atonement purposes, Hare Hi Kachatas. It is treated like a korban chatas, like an animal that's slaughtered as a korban chatas, because right now we're dealing with a meal offering, but a meal offering that's brought for atonement purposes is treated like a korban chatas. Lefikach kamsa shelo lishma, therefore if the handful of the mincha, which is one of the stages in processing a mincha, where one takes a handful of the soles, or of the baked goods, the baked mincha, which is one of the four malachas or avodas associated with a mincha. Rashi goes through these details, and he points out that the kemitza of a mincha is parallel to the shechita, to the slaughtering of an animal. So therefore, if one does the kemitza of the mincha shelo lishma, psula, it will ruin the minchas chote, just like the shechita of a korban chatos shelo lishma ruins the korban chatos. Minchas nedova hare hi keosham. A voluntary korban mincha is treated like an osham. Lefiko komsa shelo lishma ksheira. If one dedicated on his own volition a meal offering, which we call a minchas nedava, and one took the handful with an incorrect intention, the mincha is not ruined. That's kosher, just like an korban osham, a sacrifice. Sacrificed animal brought as an osham, if it's slaughtered shelo lishmo, it is kosher. So you can see that the osham is treated with a degree of leniency, namely that an osham done shelo lishmo is kosher. That conforms with the shitas harabonon. Continuing in the Gemara, Elo l'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer holds that an osham shelo lishmo is also possible. It's just like a chatos. L'may hilchaso iskash mincha lechatos u'mincha liosham. What do we gain? What does the Torah gain by comparing a mincha to a sacrificed chatos and to a sacrificed osham? According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's seemingly no distinction between the two of them. So the Gemara answers, the hekish of a mincha to a chatas and osham is lechi idoch the Rabbi Shimon. It is it accomplishes, or it can be understood by another teaching of Rabbi Shimon, the Snan. The source talks about a korban mincha, a meal offering. It says shelo bekli shares psula. The Tanakhama says that if a person took the handful of the komets, of the meal offering, in his hand, he did the kmitza, which we mentioned earlier was one of the avodos of a korban mincha, taking the handful, which eventually is brought to the mizbeach and burnt on top of the mizbeach. If one took the handful of the mincha and did not put it into a service vessel, that means he wasn't mekadesh the koimetz in a kli shoreis. He didn't sanctify the handful of mincha material by putting it into another kli shoreis. Psula, the mincha is ruined. For Rabbi Shimon, machshir. Rabbi Shimon says the korban mincha remains kosher. Namely, if a person took a handful, the handful which we call the kmitza, and then carried the kmitza by hand, in his hand, to the Mizbeach and burnt it on the top of the Mizbeach without having placed the handful in an interim service vessel, it's kosher. The Omar Rav Yehuda Breid Rabbi Chia, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the basis of Rabbi Shimon's teaching? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, and once again it's the same Pasuk that we cited earlier, Kodesh Kodoshim Hi Kachatos V'cha Asham. And from the fact that a mincha, which is the subject of this pasuk, Kodesh Kodashim Hi, that's a mincha, it's like a chatas and an asham, we learn from this the following. Ba l'oiv dobiyad, if you choose to carry the kometz while holding it in your hand, then oivdo biyamin kachatos, then you shall carry it in your right hand as one processes a korban chatas. With regard to the sprinkling of the blood, which is, in the case of a korban chatas, one dips his finger into the blood and then smears it on the mizbeach, that must be done by the right hand. According to this approach, and this is all explained with sources in the Rashi, it is the requirement of yamin, of right hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a requirement that one finds only by a korban chatos. And Rashi points out the basis of this is only by a korban chatos do you find the words that restrict you to yamin, to the right, in the sense that in the case of a korban chatos, the pasuk says v'loka hakoyin midam hachatos be'etzboi v'nosan. You have several key words that, when found together, indicate only right hand, and those happen to be the words koyin, and etzba, and v'nosan. However, in the case of other korbanos where you don't have all three words appearing together, the left hand would be okay. Therefore, if you're going to do a korban mincha by hand, namely the carrying of the kometz to the mizbeach and eventually then putting it in the fire, and you're going to do this by hand, then you must use the right hand. However, a second point, ba'al le'oiv dobekli, if you do choose to use a service vessel, namely after taking the kmitza from the original kli in which the mincha is brought, a handful is then taken from that and then placed into another service vessel, another kli shoreis, in order to carry the kometz, the handful, to the mizbeach, then it can be done, it can be carried in your left hand. That's what we just read. Let's read that again. Bola oivda b'kli, oivda b'smoil k'osham. Then you have the option of using the left hand, as you would be allowed to in the case of the blood sprinkling when it comes to a korban osham. As we mentioned before, according to Rabbi Shimon, in order to restrict you to yamin, you have to have etzba and kahuna. In the case of the osham, you don't have the word etzba appearing, you just have the word kahuna, and therefore you're not limited to yamin. So, after all said and done, if you asked, according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, what does he do with the hekesh, the comparison of a korban mincha to chatas and osham, the answer is, the comparison provides these options, that if you want to carry it with your by hand without using a kli shoreis, then you have to use the right hand in order to carry the kometz to the mizbeach. If you want to use a service vessel, then you can do that with your you can carry it with your left hand. The Gemara now asks, regarding Rabbi Shimon himself, it seems that he's using the same pasuk to derive two different halachas. Take a look to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Notice an arrow opposite this line. Skim up and you see more arrows. These help you to focus on this problem about Rabbi Shimon's dual use of the Pasuk Kodesh Kodashim. Of course, even without our providing these arrows, you can see it very easily by just spotting the house markings highlighting Rabbi Shimon and the double underline use of the Pasuk for two different halachas. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon, hai kro mapik le lahachi u mapik le lahachi. How is it that Rabbi Shimon Mapiklehi derives from the Pasuk this way and derives from it something else? Namely, we had the issue of the Lo Lishmo issue and the issue of the Yad and Kli matter. So the Gemara answers, Iker Kro Lichid Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rabbi Chia Huda Asa. If one has any doubts about where that is, we also provide it to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, little stars, opposite this line and the line just a couple two lines up where Rav Yehuda Braid Rav Chia introduced Rabbi Shimon's drasha regarding hand at versus kli, or left right hand versus left hand. So what the Gemara is saying is that the Iker use of Rabbi Shimon of this pasuk Kodesh Kodoshim He Kachas Sasham is for the teaching of Rav Yehuda Braid Rav Chia, the issue of the options in which hand to carry the koimetz to the mizbeach. O minchas chote de psula shelo lishma, the mokar, the source for that particular halacha, that a minchas chote if done in a shelo lishma fashion with lacking the focused proper intention, taimo achrino hu, there's a different source or different explanation for that halacha, and it is as follows. Chatos taimo mai. Why do we say that a korban chatos, we agree, is posel shelo lishmo dechtiv bo he? Because you have a limiting expression, he, meaning only if it's done as a chatos is it okay, but if it's done with a different intention, it's ruined. Minchas chote nami ksiv bo he. You'll find in the Torah the word he in the context of a minchas chote as well, providing the same limitation idea. Namely, that only if it's done with the proper intention will it be acceptable, and not if done with the wrong intention. Ula Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, that a chatos shelo lishma is posel, and not an osham. Lemai hilchisa iskash osham lechatos. According to the Chomim, and you'll notice we have a double asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an indicator of Yud Amid Beis. Go back to Yud Amid Beis and skim down till you find a double asterisk with a Yud Aleph Amid Aleph indicator. You'll notice this goes back to the upper part of Yud Amid Beis, where we saw Rabbi Eliezer quote the pasuk of Kachatas Ka'asham to serve as a basis of his shita, of his stance, that an asham like a chatos done shelo lishma would be posel. The Chachamim who hold only a chatos shelo lishmo is posel and not an osham, the Gemara here is asking, what is the purpose of the Torah comparing an osham to a chatos? The answer, lo maloch, ma chatos teuna smicha, just like a korban chatos requires the placing of the owner's hands on its head, so to af osham ton smicha, so to a korban osham requires the placing of the hands on the animal's head. At this point, we go to the next opinion found in the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Yosef ben Choyni Oimer Hanishchotim L'Shem Pesach U'L'Shem Chatos Psulim. As we look right ahead in the Gemara text itself, we have we've underlined Rabbi Yochanan, called him number one, and the next line, Rava, is underlined and assigned a number two. Before we go further in the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our topic heading, which will serve as an important introduction to this sugya. The notes say, Hashoychet Acherim L'Shem Chatos, one who shechs other korbonos with a chatos intention. This is, of course, the issue of Shechita Shelo Lishma, and in this case, you have in mind the chatos, even though you're not processing a chatos, you're processing some other korban. Lefi Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yosef ben Choni veRabbi Eliezer omru dover echad. He is of the opinion that both of these tanoim hold the same thing, the puzzle, that achirim l'shem chatos ruins the korban, ruins that other korban. Lefi Rabbah, Yosef ben Choni posel, that only Yosef ben Choni will pasel the case of achirim l'shem chatos. Rabbi Eliezer machshir, but Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbah, will say achirim l'shem chatos is okay, is kosher. Rabbi Yochanan veRabo meichichin shitoisehem beRabbi Eliezer mitoch brisa shemuvaba machlokes Rabbi Yeshua veRabbi Eliezer. Both of these Amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabo, who essentially are arguing within the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, will both prove their different positions from the same source. And the source that it will be brought in this particular Gemara is Be'inyan Shechitas Acherim L'Shem Pesach. The source will be discussing primarily the issue of the shechting of other korbonos L'Shem Pesach. It might be pointed out that as far as Acherim L'Shem Pesach is concerned, and when focusing on Yosef ben Choni and Rabbi Eliezer, there is no machlokis regarding Achirim L'Shem Pesach. What about Achirim L'Shem Chatos? So, it depends on whom you ask. If you ask Achirim L'Shem Chatos, within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that will be a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba. So there are certain things in this sugya, in order to make life easier, to realize there are certain things that are not subject to controversy. And what we've done, we've provided a little chart on the inside margin to enable one to see things a little more easily. So in this chart, we see across the top the names of three Tanoim. You have Yosef ben Choni, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua. We haven't seen Rabbi Yeshua's name yet because we haven't learned the brisa that's going to be brought in, which will eventually serve as a basis for both Rabbi Yochanan and his position versus Rabbah and his position regarding the understanding of Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Let's look at our chart. We see down the side, you have the issue of Achirim L'Shem Pesach, that means shechting other korbanos with a Pesach intention, and shechting other korbanos is Achirim L'Shem Chatos. So as far as these things are concerned, and when you look at Shitas Yosef ben Choni, whether it be things L'Shem Pesach or things done L'Shem Chatos, they're both possible. When we look at the other end of the chart, Rabbi Yeshua appears in the context of Achirim L'Shem Pesach. He holds Achirim L'Shem Pesach is kosher. Where does controversy arise? It arises only when you look at Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, and not when we discuss Achirim L'Shem Pesach. As far as Achirim L'Shem Pesach, Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that it is possible, just like Yosef ben Choni said, that's possible. Rabbi Eliezer agrees that Achirim L'Shem Pesach is possible. What about Achirim L'Shem Chatos? So we see on our chart, Rabbi Yochanan holds, under Rabbi Eliezer, that Achirim L'Shem Chatos is possible. Rabbah, under the heading Rabbi Eliezer, will tell us that Achirim L'Shem Chatos is kosher. In the source that we're about to learn, we're not going to see the Korban Chatos featured. The feature, the emphasis of this source revolves around a Korban Pesach. What we plan to do is to go through the source on its own merit first, and emphasize just the flow of the source, because if we try to weave into this source the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba, it might interfere with a clear understanding of the source itself. So we would best be served by first learning through the source on its own, and then going over the main points of the source that are relevant to finding a proof for Rabbi Yochanan and what he holds, that he holds that Yosef ben Choni and Rebbe Eliezer say the same thing. And then find the point in the source that will serve as a basis for Rabba that says Rebbe Eliezer and Yosef ben Choni don't say the same thing, because when it comes to the issue of Achirim L'Shem Pesach, according to Rabba, you will find that Yosef ben Choni and Rebbe Eliezer do not say the same thing. Now we turn to the Gemara. Kedesanya. The source begins here. HaPesach she'ovro shnosoi v'shochtoi bizmanoi l'shmo. A lot of variables over here. This is describing a Korban Pesach that went over a year. Ovro shnoso, it's over a year old. At that point, the Torah says that it becomes a shlomen. And he shechted this over year old animal that was set aside as a Pesach, and he shechts it, bismano means on the 14th of Nisan, lishmo, with a Pesach intention. V'chein ha-shoichit achirim l'shem Pesach bismano, shechting other kinds of korbanos as if it were a Pesach on the 14th. It might make life a little bit easier if we just focus, as our discussion continues, on this Bay's example, the issue of Achirim L'Shem Pesach. He's doing Achirim, other kinds of Gorbonos, as if it were a Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Rabbi Eliezer Posel, Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. Oma Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua argues, in Bishar Yemois Hashana, if you're dealing with the rest of the year, other than the 14th of Nisan, she'enoi kosher lishmoi, if one takes a Korban Pesach and shechts it as if it were a Korban Pesach during the rest of the year, it's not allowed, it's not acceptable. Achirim ksherim lishmo, however, if one took, let us say, a Korban Shlomim during the rest of the year and shechted it as if it were a Pesach, or he took a Korban Ola and declared it as a Korban Pesach, that would be called an Oila Shelo Lishmo, or a Shlomim Shelo Lishmo. And we say that they are kosher. Bizmanoi, on the 14th, Shehu Kosher Lishmo, where a Pesach done as a Pesach is kosher, Eino Din She Yichshiru Achirim Lishmo, then all the more so should we be able to say that Achirim Lishmo would be acceptable. In other words, if Shari Yemos Hashana, which was a stricter time period, so to speak, we saw that Achirim are Ksherim Lishmoi, then on the 14th of Nisan, which is a more relaxed time period, so to speak, certainly Achirim will be Ksherim Lishmo. That's Rabbi Yeshua's position. Achirim L'Shem Pesach. What did Rabbi Eliezer say regarding Achirim L'Shem Pesach Bizmano? He said it's possible. Well, Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Before we go further, let us take note of the fact that the next several lines are Rabbi Eliezer talking, and we've indicated this through a long marker on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a Reish Aleph, an abbreviated Rabbi Eliezer, encircled with a vertical dashed line. Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer, oy chiluf hadvarim, or possibly argue in an opposite fashion. Uma im b'shar yemois hashana she'enoi kosher lishmoi, if during the rest of the year where a Pesach is not kosher as a Pesach, kosher hu l'shem achirim, a Pesach would be kosher lo lishmo, if it were done as something else. Bizmanoi, on the 14th, shehu kosher lishmoi, eno din sheyuchshar l'shem achirim, then all the more so, following the logic that you had suggested earlier, then it would follow that all the more so, a Pesach would be kosher l'shem achirim. Rabbi Lezer is trying to say that if you're going to base your argument on Shar Yemos HaShana, and then compare that, namely, compare the way we treat Shar Yemos HaShana to the way we treat Bizmano, you're going to come out with something absurd. Going over the last point again, Bizmano Yishu Kosher Lishmo, the 14th of Nisan, where Pesach is kosher as a Korban Pesach, then Eino Din, then all the more so, Shiyuchshar, that then we will be able to treat the Korban Pesach as kosher if it's done l'shem achirim. And this actually follows as a result of the way Rabbi Yeshua tried to classify to view the 14th as a more lenient time period than Shari Yemos HaShana. Rabbi Lezer says, well, if you do things that way, you're going to come out with this incredible, incorrect conclusion. And what will be the Yuchshar, and we have to read this with the right emphasis, with the right wonderment. The Yuchshar Pesach Bar Bosar Shaloi Lishmoi. Are you going to then allow a Pesach done Shaloi Lishmo on the 14th? V'kach Ata Omer. And do you mean to say that? Ma Li Huchshuru Achirim Bishar Yemois Hashana Lishmoi. I understand that other kinds of korbanos during the rest of the year are kosher lishmo, are kosher if you do it with a Pesach intention. Shekein hu kosher l'shem achirim, because when you're dealing with Shari Yemos HaShana, a Pesach if done shelo lishmo happens to be kosher. So therefore, when you're focusing on Shari Yemos HaShana, Shari Yemos HaShana itself has a leniency built into it. And not like you were saying that Shari Yemos HaShana is a more restrictive time period. Shari Yemos HaShana, others done Shelo Lishmo, namely other kinds of korbanos done L'Shem Pesach are okay, because a Pesach done L'Shem Achirim is okay. However, V'yuchshuru Achirim Bizmano Lishmo, are you going to tell me that Achirim Bizmano are kosher? This is Rabbi Lezer is arguing, you, Rabbi Yoshua, are you going to tell me that Achirim Bizmano are kosher, means shechting other korbanos with a Pesach intention is kosher shekein, who Pasul l'shem achirim, but on Bizmano, a Pesach done with the others in mind is pasul, and you agree with that. So how can you possibly argue that others done l'shem Pesach should be kosher? Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, im kein, if you're going to stand your ground and insist that Achirim L'Shem Pesach is no good. Achirim would include, let us say, doing a Korban Shlomim L'Shem Pesach. If you're going to insist on Achirim, of course the argument is Achirim L'Shem Pesach on the 14th. If you're going to insist that that the Shlomim would be a Pasul Korban, Horato Koyach Pesach, the Nosan Koyach B'Shlomim. That means you're treating Shlomim with a greater degree of chumrah, of stringency. What do you mean by that? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Three lines from the bottom. Im Kain, Im Ata Poisel Achirim Lishmoi Bizmano. That's a case of Shlomim Shaloi Lishmo. If you're going to tell me that a Shlomim L'Shem Pesach on the 14th is Pasul, Horato Pesach V'Nosata Koyach B'Shlomim, you're in effect giving more stringency to a Korban Shlomim than you are to a Korban Pesach. Shekol HaShona Shehi Zman Shlomim,
Pesach Hanishchat Lishmo Kosher. When you look at the Zmano of a Shlomim, for instance, the Shari Mos Hashona is called Zman Shlomim. If you do a Pesach Shelo Lishmo, namely, if you do a Pesach L'Shem Shlomim, it's okay. So far we see a Pesach Shelo Lishmo as being okay. V'hayoyim Shehu Zman Pesach, and on the 14th of Nisan, which is the Pesach's time, Kol Shlomim Hanishchotin Lishmo Psulin. That's a case of Shlomim Shelo Lishmo. If you do a Shlomim Shelo Lishmo, it's no good. Nim says, Machsheves Shaloi Lishmoi Godol Koichoi B'Shlomim Mi B'Pesach. We've demonstrated that the way we treat the Machshav of Shelo Lishmo with regard to a Shlomim is, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, is actually comes out to be stricter than the way we treat Shelo Lishmo with regard to a Pesach. To go over that point again, Shari Yemos Hashana, if you do a Pesach Shelo Lishmo, it's okay. If you do a Shlomim on Yudalid Nisan Shelo Lishmo, according to you, you've ruined the Shlomim. Ukro Ashkon de Achmur B'Pesach Mibishlomim. If anything, though, Rabbi Yeshua argues, we find the Torah being stricter with regard to a Pesach than with regard to a Shlomim. Dichsiv Bei Hu. It says by the Pesach, a limitation word. Ubechol Hazvochim Hichshu Shelo Lishmo. But by other Korbanos, we allow them to be done. We allow them, it means they're kosher if they're done Shelo Lishmo. At this point, Rabbi Eliezer turns to a new form of logic. Chozar, Rabbi Eliezer, we're going back into the Gemara. Chozar, Rabbi Eliezer, v'donoi din achir. Motsinu mosar pesach bo shlomim, v'ein mosar shlomim bo pesach. We found that in the cases that you have a mosar pesach, that's a situation where you had set aside a korban pesach, and for whatever reason, you ended up not using it, it then turns into a Korban Shlomim. In our presentation right now, we're not getting into the details of what constitutes a Moser Pesach. We'll just use it as a term referring to a Korban that results from a Korban Pesach. Namely, it's not a Korban that's the essential Korban Pesach anymore. We find by a Moser Pesach that it comes as a Korban Shlomim. But a Moser Shlomim, let's say you had a Moser Shlomim scenario, it does not come as a Pesach. Uma Pesach Shemoisroi Bo Shlomim. Mind you, a Korban Pesach whose residual identity could turn into a Shlomim. Shochtoi bizmanoi lishum shlomim posel. If you shecht a Pesach on the 14th of Nisan for a shlomim, for something that, mind you, it could become, in theory, a Pesach could become a shlomim. But if you shecht a Pesach on the 14th with a shlomim intention, posel, the Pesach is ruined. Shlomim she'ein mosron bo Pesach. Shlomim are even more restricted in the sense that their mosar does not turn into a Pesach. Im shochtam l'shem Pesach, if you took a shlomim and shechted it l'shem Pesach bizmano on the 14th of Nisan, you know, din shiu psulim, then all the more so they should be pasul. In other words, the shlomim which has a lesser connection to a Pesach, therefore, it's certainly if you do a shlomim l'shem Pesach on the 14th, it should be pasul. Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua, at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Rabbi Yeshua argues back. Motsinu mosar chatos bo oila, the ein moisar ola bo chatos. We have on record that a chatos, if for whatever reason it's not used, it's a moser chatos, it can turn into an ola. But if you have an ola that's a moser ola, some residual korban that whose origin was an ola, and now it's a moser ola, it does not come, a Mosar Ola does not turn into a Chatos. Uma Chatos Shemoisra Bo Ola. Mind you, a Chatos whose Mosar version turns into an ola. Shachta l'shem ola. So if you take your original chatos and do it l'shem ola, it's posel. Oila she'ein mosra bo chatos, a korban ola, whose mosar version does not turn into a chatos. Shachta l'shem chatos, if you were to shecht the original ola, if you were to shecht the original ola l'shem chatos, eino din shetehe psula, and this is not true. If you were to shecht an ola as a chatos, according to the logic, according to your logic, it should certainly be possible, and that's not true. So what is Rabbi Yeshua saying? He's saying, if you're going to argue from the way we treat the Mosar version of these respective korbanos, then your conclusion can be disproven by the way we treat the Mosar of an ola. Omar lo, Rabbi Eliezer, loy. He responds, im amris b'chatos, if you say regarding a chatos, shekein kshera lishma kol hashana kula. If you say regarding a chatos, we mean if you do an ola l'shem chatos, and we do find that an ola shelo lishma is kosher, that's because it's kosher all year. That's what this means, shekein kshera lishma, because an ola is kosher lishma all year. Therefore, if you have an ola that you do l'shem chatos, and you tell me this ola shelo lishma is kosher, that's fine, because an ola is kosher as an ola. If you were do it with a proper ola intention, it's kosher to be brought that way all year. So we find a certain leniency within the realm of ola. Tomar bePesach sheino kosher lishmo elo bezmano. But are you expecting me to say the same thing with regard to a Pesach whose kashrus as a Pesach, namely, if you do a Pesach lishmo, it's kosher as that only one day a year? Therefore, since a Pesach is posel lishmo, namely kol shar yemos hashana, a Pesach has the stringency dinhu shiyfsulu achirim lishmo. So, by the same token, I feel, says Rebbe Lezer, that if you do other korbanos l'shem a Pesach, they should also be rendered posel. At this point, we have to go back over this source and point out where Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba see their respective points. We will be able to do this by citing certain references in Rashi, where he addresses where each one, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba, are medayik their positions. Once again, it is upon us to focus the discussion, whereby we are focusing on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer regarding the issue of Achirim L'Shem Chatos. Of course, in the last minutes, we have been focusing on the issue of a Pesach and Achirim L'Shem Pesach. But right now, we have to change our mindset a little bit and focus on Achirim L'Shem Chatos. How are we going to see Shitas Rabbi Yochanan in his understanding of Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer will hold Achirim L'Shem Chatos as posel? Where do we see that in the source? So what we can do is we look in the Rashi. Several lines from the bottom, you'll see Dibur HaMasl Ma'li Huchshuru Achirim. This is a quote from the source about six lines from the bottom, where Rabbi Eliezer was speaking, and of course we're focusing on Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was speaking, and he was arguing in a bitmiyah fashion, and he said, Mali Huchshu Achirim Bishar Yemois Hashana Lishmoi. I understand that you're machshir other things, other kinds of korbanos during the rest of the year if you do it l'shem Pesach. But shekain, and why shekain who kosher l'shem achirim? Because we have this duality. Others are kosher l'shem Pesach b'shar yemos hashana, because a Pesach b'shar yemos hashana is kosher if you do it l'shem achirim. That's a Pesach shelo lishmo. However, v'yuchshuru achirim bizmano, but if you're focusing on the 14th of Nisan, are you expecting me to machshir other korbanos that are done lishmo, that are done l'shem Pesach? Shekein hu, the Pesach though, is posel l'shem achirim. What do we mean by yuchshuru achirim bizmano lishmo? So let us take a look at the Rashi. Mali huchshu achirim, chule, yuchshu achirim, bitmiha. From here, Rabbi Yochanan is medayek his position. The Omar, the chihechi de posil Rabbi Eliezer, just like Rabbi Eliezer pasels the achirim l'shem Pesach, the shechting of other korbanos l'shem Pesach on the 14th, posil be'achirim l'shem chatos. Rabbi Eliezer would also pasul other korbanos done l'shem chatos. The hotaimo de Rabbi Eliezer mishum de hu pasul l'shem achirim. Because Rabbi Eliezer argued, as we saw in the source itself, that when you're focusing on the 14th, if you do a Pesach l'shem achirim, that's a Pesach shelo lishmo, that's certainly not kosher. The hochinami b'chatos isa. The same phenomenon you find by a chatos, namely a chatos l'shem achirim, that's called a chatos shelo lishmo, is also no good. So we see from here that Rabbi Eliezer will treat the chatos the way he treats the Pesach. And that is, as far as our discussion, we must focus our discussion. Just like Rabbi Eliezer pasels achirim l'shem Pesach, he will pasel achirim l'shem chatos. Because Rabbi Eliezer's whole argument was based on the way we treat Pesach l'shem achirim. The way we treat Pesach l'shem achirim, we say the Pesach is ruined. We know chatos l'shem achirim, that the chatos is ruined. And Rabbi Eliezer was arguing, well, if you do Achirim L'Shem Pesach, it's ruined. Therefore, Achirim L'Shem Chatos will also be ruined. So this is the point in the Tanaic source from which Rabbi Yochanan is drawing his basis of understanding Rabbi Eliezer. Once again, to focus on the main point, and that is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with regard to Achirim L'Shem Chatos. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Eliezer would say is posel. Now, as far as Rabbah is concerned, Rabbah finds the basis of his point, namely that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion of Achirim L'Shem Chatos is kosher, is really from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer backs out of this particular logic that we see here on Omid Aleph, and Rabbi Eliezer presents a new form of logic on Omid Beis. From this, it would appear that Rabbi Eliezer concedes that Achirim L'Shem Chatos would be kosher. Well, when we turn to Amud Beis, the upper part of the Rashi, we've included a little star to help you find it more easily, about the third narrow line. This is a comment that's drawn from Rabbi Yoshua's comment, Rabbi Yoshua's argument, and Rabbi Eliezer eventually responds. Let us see what the Rashi says. Uma chatos shemoyser v'chulei v'im kavachomer koze ato doresh. Rabbi Yoshua was saying to Rabbi Eliezer, if you are going to arrive at your conclusions based on the way we treat a Mosar, then yesh l'chol lifsoil Ola L'Shem Chatos, then you will have to, you'll end up saying that an Ola done Shelo L'Shmo is possible. Umehacha Diek Rabo Milsei Liel. And it's really from this point that Rabo derives his conclusion. Midolo Ahader Le Rabbi Eliezer, from the fact that Rabbi Eliezer does not respond by saying Ano Nami Pasilno B'Nishchotim L'Shem Chatos. Because what was Rabbi Yeshua just saying to Rabbi Eliezer? He was saying, according to you, you would end up saying that if you do Oilu L'Shem Chatos, Oilu L'Shem Chatos is an example of Acherim L'Shem Chatos. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you would come out by saying something that's ridiculous. Namely, you would admit that an Oilu L'Shem Chatos is in fact kosher. Rabbi Eliezer, of course, in the source, went on to a different track. And he spoke about the way we treat Shari Yemos Kol HaShana versus the way we treat Zmano by a Pesach. But he didn't reject this particular point of Rabbi Yeshua. Once again, Rabbi Yeshua argued, if according to your logic, using the Mosar idea, you're going to come out saying Ola L'Shem Chatos is Posel, and that's not true, and you agree that that's not true. So in the bottom line is Ola L'Shem Chatos, or which is in effect an example of Acherim L'Shem Chatos, Rabbi Eliezer concedes is kosher. And that's how Rabba sees his opinion, Acherim L'Shem Chatos, of Rabbi Eliezer as holding kosher. We now turn to the Gemara to a new discussion. Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, and he mentioned Shachto L'Shem Gavoa Mehem Kosher, L'Shem Nomuch Mehem Psulim. On the outside margin, we have a nosei with a topic heading. Hamokar l'divrei Shimon Achi Azariah, the source for his statement, the hashochet l'shem gavoa mehen ksherim. If you shech the korban with an intention of a higher type korban, so your korban is kosher. L'shem nomuch mehen psulin. However, if you shech your sacrifice with a lower type korban in mind, it ruins your korban. So we turn to the Gemara. We have a couple of names before presenting the item that follows. Rav Ashi Masni Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Acho Brei de Ravo Masni Mishmei de Rabbi Yanai. They teach the following. Mai Taima de Shimon Achi Azariah. Regarding the issue of Shochton L'Shem Gavoa Kosher and L'Shem Namuch Mehem Psulin. What is the basis of this shita? My time of the Shimon Achi Azariah. The Omar Kro, the Gemara answers, the Pasuk says, V'lo yuchalu es kotshe b'nei Yisrael es asher yorimu l'Hashem. The word yorimu means to have something rise up, higher. B'muram mehem ein mischalim. The Pasuk began by saying, V'lo yuchalu, when do you not ruin something? That's if you're yorimu, if you do it for something higher. However, benomuch mehem mischalim. If you do it for something lower, they do become ruined. The Gemara asks a question. This question lasts a few lines, as you can see by the long question indicator. V'hai lahochi hu da'asa. Is this pasuk of v'lo yichalu for this purpose? For homi boy alei lichadish Shmuel. I need it for a different teaching. I need it for Shmuel's halacha. D'yomar Shmuel. This halacha regards the tithing of produce. Produce, when it's untithed, it is called tevel. That is, before you remove the trumas and the maestras from your produce, it's called tevel. Tevel carries with it a penalty of misa bidei shemayim. The basis of that is from the fact that there's a gzereshava between the words chilul to the realm of truma, and in the case of truma, you find a pasuk that says umesu bo ki chaluluhu. So we know that tevel carries with it a death penalty, misa bidei shemayim, that is. The Shmuel's teaching is as follows: Minayin lo'echel es hatevel shuv b'misa. From where do we know that the consumption of untithed produce is b'misa? Shenemar v'lo yichalu es kotche ben Yisrael sasher yirimu l'Hashem. And we pointed out in the Rashi that there's a hekesh to truma. Now, how do I see a gzeres shava to truma? do I see Tevel in this pasuk of Veloy Chalu as Kochev Yisrael Sashir Yorimu? You see it from the word Yorimu. Ba'asidim. Yorimu is a future word, meaning that something that will be taken off of, lifted up and removed from. Ba'asidim Litram HaKosu Medaber. Something that will be tithe. That's a reference to what is currently Tevel. Tevel is something that in the future will be tithe. So from this pasuk, v'lo yichalu as kochim Yisrael, which is es asher yorimu, which is a reference to tevel, I learn that there's a penalty of misa from the gzera shava of the word yichalu, as we mentioned, chilul chilul to truma. But the focus of this point is that this pasuk of asher yorimu is describing tevel, and of course the penalty of misa b'dei shemayim. How then can you say that this is a source for our Mishnah, the teaching of Shimon Achi Azariah, that shechting with a higher sacrifice in mind, the current sacrifice is kosher? The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if this pasuk was just for Shimon Achi Azariah's teaching, namely our Mishnah, Lichtav Kor Asher Hurmu, the pasuk could have used the word Asher Hurmu, my Asher Yorimu. Asher Yorimu is a future tense. The fact that it's using a future tense is a reference to something that will be tithe, will in the future be tithe. Shmami notarti. So we are able to learn both halachas from this pasuk, namely the halacha of Shimon Achi Azariah and the halacha of Tevel carrying with it a penalty of Misa B'dei Shemayim. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, She'elas Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera's question. L'shem gavoa mehem k'sherim dekomar Shimon Achi Azariah ma'u kavanoso. When Shimon Achi Azariah says if you shecht with a higher korban in mind, it's kosher, what is his intent by saying that? What does he mean? One possibility, aleph, k'sherim v'ein miratzin, that's kosher, but the owner doesn't fulfill his requirement. In other words, it's basically a korban that's done shelo lishmo, and that is like the Tanakam of the Mishnah. There's a second possibility that when Shimon Achi Azariah says they're ksherim legamri udaloka Tanakam, these are totally kosher. That he's shechting a shlomim, and he does it, let us say, l'shem and ola. According to this possibility, he would actually fulfill his requirement, and in that case, he would be unlike the Tanakama. Ha'ora, we want to just point out something before getting into the Gemara, and we've written this in, l'shem nomuch mehen, the case of where he shechts a korban for something, for a different korban of a lower nature, that the ka'omar Shimon Achi Azariah, psulin, vadai poligatanakama. That point, we know, is at odds with the Tanakama, because shechting l'shem nomuch is another example of shechita shelo lishma. With regard to the Tanakama, he made no distinction between higher and lower. All of these cases would be examples of shechita shelo lishma. And the Tanakama says, kosher v'lo yotzu bailim dechoiva. Masha'en kein, according to this opinion of Shimon Achi Azariah, shechting it l'shem nomuch man is posel. Means it's a total ruination. We're focusing right now in our discussion concerning shechting with something higher in mind. We've also provided a little chart on the side in order to lay things out for you. We have a little star, and we've entitled it on the inside margin, Boy Rabbi Zera. We have across the top the Rabbonan and Shimon Achi Azariah. Down the side you see L'shem Gavoa or L'shem Nomuch. The Shitas HaRabbonon, which is the Tanakam of our mission, if you do it L'shem Gavoa, it's K'sherim Vein Meratzin. If you do it L'shem Nomuch, it's K'sherim Vein Meratzin. What about if you do it L'shem... What about Shimon Achi Azariah? So if you look at the, let's say, L'shem Nomuch, that you can see clearly, Shimon Achi Azariah says Psulim. There's a head-on machlokes between the Rabbonon and Shimon Achi Azariah regarding the scenario of L'shem Nomuch. What about L'shem Gavoa? So if you look under the chart, the upper left-hand corner, you have Shimon Achi Azariah, Aleph, K'sherim Vein Meratzin. That would be just like the Tanakama's case of L'shem Gavoa. The Tanakama's opinion is the same thing. That's Kamoa Tanakama. The Bay's possibility is K'sherim Legamri. That's not what the Rabbonon said. They said it's K'sherim Vein Meratzin. Sherim Legamri, on the other hand, means completely fulfilled, and that's below Katanakama. underneath this chart, we indicated Lefi Aleph, according to the first possibility, Bechada Polig. Only under one case would the Shimon Chayazariah and the Chachamim be arguing, and that would be in the case of L'shem Nomuch. And if, according to the Bay's possibility that we featured on the chart, it would turn out that the Chachamim and Shimon Chayazariah argue on 2 points, both L'shem Gavoa and L'shem Nomuch. Turning to the Gemara, we also, before going further, we should note we have a new geometric form. We have a volcano form, and you can see this is featured under our Mivneh heading with a Ma'akav. This form will be used to keep track of the flow of the Gemara. With the narrow portion facing upwards, this will be a question, and with it flipped over, the narrow part facing downwards, Nisayon showed an attempt to respond, to answer. Boi Rabbi Zero. Aleph, Ksherin V'ein Meratzin. Does he say that L'shem Gavoa, it's Kosher, V'ein Meratzin, and the owner doesn't fulfill his obligation? V'chipolig, and when Shimon Achir Azariah argues with the Tanakama, B'chadapolig, they argue only with regard to the case of L'shem Nomuch, where the Tanakama would say it would be Kosher, but V'ein Meratzin, and Shimon Achir Azariah would say Posel Legamri. Oy Dilma, Ksherin Umaratzin, or does Shimon Chayazariah say that L'shem Gavoa, he's kosher, it's kosher, the korban is kosher, and the owner fulfills his requirement? The Tanakama would disagree with that. Ubatarti Pligi, and in addition to that controversy, they are also arguing in the case of L'shem Nomuch, as we said before. The question is therefore asked. Omar Abaye, Vitemo Rabbi Zrika, Toshma, here we try to answer. Habachor v'maiser sheshachton l'shem shlomim k'shem. By the way, this is also a quote from our Mishnah, from the end of the Mishnah. It says that if you shech the bechor and maiser l'shem shlomim, kosher. Shlomim sheshachton l'shem bechor l'shem maiser psulim. If you take a shlomim and do it l'shem bechor l'shem maiser, which are lower level sanctity items, they're posel. The e salta daitoch. If you're going to think like the second side of this of the question, the second possibility, the isakadaitoch ksheirin umaratzin, if that's how you're going to learn the Mishnah, when Shimon Achayazariah says in the Mishnah, he says ksheirim, and you're going to interpret ksheirim to mean ksheirim and maratzin. Maratzin means atones for the owner. Bechor bar ritzui hu. Is a bechor something that serves as atonement? So that in this sefer of the Mishnah, which said habechor v'maiser sheshachton l'shem shlomim ksherim, do you mean that ksherim, it means kosher and ritzui and serves as an appeasement to the Almighty? But a bechor doesn't do that. That's not its role. Elo ksherin v'ein miratzin. You'll have to conclude that the word ksherim means it's simply kosher, but it doesn't accomplish its designed purpose. Umidaseifa ksherin veimaratzin, and just like in the case of the seifa, where we speak about the bechor and maaser l'shem shlomim, kosher means it's kosher, and that's it. Nothing further. Reisha nami, in the case of kochim kalim l'shem kochei kochim, also ksherim v'ein miratzin. It means it's, the basic korban is okay, but the owner doesn't fulfill his requirement. And that, by the way, this would be like possibility Aleph in the presentation of the question. That namely, ksherim v'ein miratzin. The Gemara rejects this and says, midi irya, ha'kidisa v'ha'kidisa. Who says that you have to say that the earlier part of Shimon's comment has to be parallel to the latter part, each one as it is? And the seifa, fine, that you'll say has to mean ksherin v'meratzin. However, the resha could be ksherin umeratzin, because there you're talking about korbanos that are brought for ritsui purposes, that are brought for appeasing purposes. Elo. The Gemara now lapses into a question. Elo my komashmolon. Then what is the purpose of the Mishnah as it is? If we look in the Rashi, we should see Elamai Komashmon Hai Denokat Habachor V'Hamaiser. The bringing in of the end of the Mishnah of the case of Bechor and Maiser, Ilav L'Gluye Alo De Reisha Nokat Lo, if it's not here to shed light on the earlier part, the part that we're asking about, ulemeimar, and to conclude from the Seifa, dikshirin ve'ein meratzin komar, if it's not here for that, if, in other words, if you're going to insist on your approach of hokis v'okidisa, so then what is the Seifa brought in for? Elo mai komash molon, the case of the Bechor and the Shlomim, the end of the Mishnah, what is it teaching me? Gavav and Amuch Komashlon, is it here simply to illustrate higher levels of Kedusha like the Shlomim and the lower levels like the Bechor? Tanina, we have another source for that. Ketzad, Kodshe Kodshim, Sheshachton, Lashem, Kodshim Kalim, namely the earlier part of our Mishnah already illustrates higher and lower levels. So you'll have to say that the reason the Seifa is brought in is to shed light on the Reisha, namely Ksherin v'ein meratzin. Just like in the case of the Seifa, the Bechor is a case of Kosher v'ein meratzin, so to the Reisha is Ksherin v'ein meratzin. Once again, making Shimon Achiazaya the same as the Tanakama with regard to L'shem Govo Amehem. The Gemara responds to this. Mahu detema. You know, if you're asking that, you're asking why, or you're trying to make your point by why is the Seifa brought in at all, if not to shed light on the ratio, I will tell you that I do need the Seifa to tell me Gavoa Nomuch, and not to tell me Ksherin Ve'en Ratzin applying to the ratio as well. Ma'u detema kotshe kotshim v'kotshim kalim hu de'iko gavoa v'nomuch. If I didn't teach you the case of Shlomim l'shem Bechor and Bechor l'shem Shlomim v'seifa of the Mishnah, I would have thought that this concept of higher and lower level is only when you go across categories. You compare kotshe kotshim to kotshim kalim. Avol kalim v'kalim, but within a realm of kotshim kalim, of lighter level sanctity. For example, Bechor versus Shlomim. Lo, maybe in that case I don't have this concept of gavoa and nomuch. Therefore, I need the Seifa for itself, and not to shed light on the Reisha. The Gemara asks, well, ha nami tanina, with regard to kalim v'kalim, that itself has been taught already later in the Masichta. Shlomim Koidmin es Abachor. Here you've got two cases of Kalim, Shlomim and Bechor, and it says Shlomim precedes Bechor. If a person has two Korbanos in front of him and he has to choose which one to do first, he chooses the Shlomim before the Bechor. Mipnei Shehein Teunin Matan Arbu Smichu Nesochim Mitnufas Chozov Ashok. The Shlomim has several activities that a Bechor does not have. It has the dam hits four sides of the Mizbeach. It has the placing of the hands on its head. It has a wine offering that accompanies. It has the waving of the Chaz of Ashok sections, which don't appear by the Bechor. So the Seifa, our Seifa, therefore, simply to tell me it's here to teach me within Kalim v'Kalim Gvov v'Nomuch, I don't need our Seifa for that. The Mishnah in Perakol HaDovir will accomplish that. Therefore, you have to say that the Seifa is L'Gluyei Aresha. The Gemara says no. Ha Iker, our Seifa over here is really the main point, the main source for telling me Gvov and Nomuch in Kalim. Within the realm of Kotchim Kalim, you have Govoa and Nomuch. And it's not here to tell me about the Reisha that it should be understood as Ksherin Ve'en Meratzin. It could be, therefore, that the Reisha is, in fact, Ksherin U'Meratzin, like our original question suggested, that as a possibility. And as far as replication or duplication of Mishnayos, Hahi Agiroro Nasfo, the case of the case of Gavoa Nomuch that seems to be taught in the later perek of this Masichta, that's taught by the way. In other words, that's not the main purpose of the Mishnah in Perek Kol HaTodir. There, the Mishnah was talking about Kedima, of prioritization. But and by the way, the issue of Gavoa Nomuch was conveyed. The Mishnah. HaPesach sheshochtoi b'shachris barbo asar sheloi lishmoi. A Pesach is shechted on the 14th of Nisan with an improper intention, with a non-Pesach intention. Rabbi Yeshua machshir kilu nishchat b'shloisha asar. Rabbi Yeshua says that it's kosher It's like a Pesach. We're talking about the Shachris, which is the first half of the day, from the morning till approximately Chatzos. Rabbi Yeshua says that period of the 14th is viewed as if it were the 13th of Nisan. Ben Besero Posel, Ki Ilu Nishchat Bein Arbayim. He says, I view the morning of the 14th as if it's the afternoon of the 14th, and the afternoon of the 14th, a Pesach Dan Shaloi Lishmoi, would be Pusel. Omar Shimon Ben Azai, Mekubal Ani Mipi Shivim Ushnaim Zokain, Biyom Shehoshivu Es Rebbe Elazar Ben Azariah B'Yeshiva. I have this tradition from the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was set up as being the head of the assembly. Shekol hazvochim haneecholim, all korbanos that one eats to the exclusion of an ola. Shenizbechu shelo lishmon ksherim, elo shelo olu labailim mishum choiva. All korbanos done shelo lishmo are kosher. Chutz mina pesach mina chatos, pesach and chatos, even though they are eaten, but if they're done shelo lishmo, they will be pasul. What about an ola? Well, the loy hoisif ben azai elo ha'ola. Ben azai adds to the list of pasul an ola. The lohodu lo chachamim. The chachamim disagree about on that point, namely an ola, according to the chachamim, is not pasul if it's done shelo lishmo. Before we go on in the Gemara, we ought to take note of the topic heading and structure that is, and we have that a note on the outside margin. We see a crown form and a machlokas Rabbi Shaya and Rabbi Yochanan, Beshitas ben Besera, Gabi Yudalid Beshachris. The names Rabbi Shaya and Rabbi Yochanan, we will see Rabbi Shaya in a crown form at the beginning of our Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan's name appears on Daf Yud Beis, about a third of the way down from the top. If you have that available, you will see a crown form around Rabbi Yochanan. So we're referring right now to a machlokus between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yochanan within Shitas Ben Besera, Gabi Yud Dalid Bishachris. How do we look at the 14th of Nisan, the morning? Rabbi Shaya Meforish is Ben Besera. The Pesach Sheshochto B'Yud Dalet Shachris Lishmoi Kosher. He says, according to within Ben Besera, that that a Pesach that's slaughtered on the 14th Lishmo, not to confuse us with the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah spoke about Lo Lishmo, but what about if it's done Lishmo on the 14th in the morning? It is kosher. Why? The Kule Yoimo Zmanehu, according to this approach of Rabbi Shaya, Ben Beseru will tell you that the entire 14th daytime hours is considered the right time of a Korban Pesach. The fact that the Torah uses the term Beinu Arbayim, which generally speaking means afternoon, here he will interpret it as Hainu Bein Shnei Aravim, the period of time between two night times, Erev being night time, between the starting from the daybreak of the 14th till the Shkia Sachama of the 14th is called Bein Harbayim, because it's between two Erevs, between two evenings. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Reb Elazar, Omar Reb Hoshaya, Machshir Hoya Ben Besera BePesach Sheshochtoi Shachris Bar Bosar Lishmoi. Ben Besera would allow a Pesach done on the 14th with a Pesach intention. The Kule Yoimo Zimnei Hu. The entire 14th is considered the proper time of a Korban Pesach. Umai Ki'ilu. If you notice in the Mishnah, Ben Besera said, in describing the 14th, Ben Besera said it's Ki'ilu Nishchat Beinu Arbayim. Namely, a Pesach done in the morning of the 14th, Shelo Lishmo, Ben Besera said that the morning is like Bein Harbayim. But according to what we're saying, the morning is Bein Harbayim. It's not like Bein Harbayim. And we explained already that Bein Harbayim, according to this whole approach, means, and the Gemara will point this out later on, but Bein Harbayim means between two evenings. So why does the Mishnah say regarding the morning it's like Bein Harbayim? It's as if it were between two evenings. It is between two evenings. So why did he use this expression? Answer, Aidi Domer Rabbi Yeshua Ki'ilu. Since Rabbi Yeshua used the word kilu, in referring to the morning of the 14th, Rabbi Yeshua said it's as if it were the 13th. There the word kilu is appropriate, as if, because the 14th is not actually the 13th, it's as if it's the 13th. Therefore, Omar Ihunami ben Becerra also used the word kilu. The Gemara asks, Ihochi, if Rabbi Shai is correct, then that ben Becerra, with regard to a Pesach Lishmo in the morning, is kosher. Instead of in the Mishnah, Rebbe Ben Becerra and Rebbe Yeshua arguing about a Pesach done on the 14th in the morning, Shalom Lishmo, Liflegu Bilishmo. You could have set up their machlokas about a Pesach in the morning of the 14th done with a Pesach intention. Rebbe Yeshua apostles, because he views that as the 13th, and that's not the time for a Pesach, and Ben Becerra would be machshirit. The Gemara answers, E iflegu bilishmoi, if we set up their machlokas on a lishmo level, have amina, I would have thought, avol b'shaloi lishmoi, I would have thought that a shachris, a 14th morning, shalo lishmo sacrificing of a Pesach, moidi Rabbi Yeshua the ben Becerra. Rabbi Yeshua would concede to ben Becerra that it's possible. Why? Hayu umiktsasa roi, because part of the 14th is fit for a Pesach. Therefore, maybe the morning is also an element of being fit for a Pesach, and then you would have a case of a Shaloi Lishmoi Pesach done in its time. That would be possible. Kamash Malon, therefore it's important for the Mishnah to teach the Machlokes, Rabbi Yeshua and Ben Becerra, regarding the Shalo Lishmo example of 14th in morning, and coming to tell me that Rabbi Yeshua will machshir it because it's like the 13th. The Gemara now asks, we already answered this before, but V'hok Siv Bein Arbaim, how can Rabbi Boshaya say that the morning is considered its zman when the pasuk says Beinu Arbayim, which we generally take to mean afternoon? Omar Ula Brei de Rabbi Eloi, what it means is Bein Shnei Arovim. The time period, Beinu Arbayim of the Torah, means the time period between two evenings, namely from Alos, from daybreak until Shkia. That is the kosher time, the whole daylight hours. The Gemara asks, we have a diamond here, and on the side we have a Mivneh heading. You'll notice, Dugmois Noisophois Shemoifia Bohen Bein Arbayim. We have also a double underlined expression. Additional examples of where the expression Bein Arbayim appears. Mahi Hamashmos Hosam. What does the term Bein Arbayim mean in these other places? If you skim down the page, you'll see diamonds used around the words Tomit, the daily sacrifice offering, Neros, the candelabra that was lit in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Ketoros, and the incense offering. The Gemara goes on, Tomid Dichsiv Bei, the Korban Tomid, concerning which it says Bein Harbayim, there's an afternoon daily sacrifice called Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. Hochi Nami Dukula Yoyim HaKosher, you're going to tell me that the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim is something that you can offer all day from the morning hours as well? That's not true. So the Gemara says, there's a different reason. Since the pasuk talks about one of the sheep that is offered in the morning, that's called the tomid shel shachar. Nichlal de beinu arbayim, beinu arbayim mamish. Therefore, in that context, beinu arbayim means afternoon. The Gemara asks, v'emo chad baboker. Maybe the pasuk that says eso echad baboker, that's done only in the morning. Idoch, the one that says beinu arbayim equals kule yoyma. Like we said earlier, it means all day. Kule yoyma, that it could be done. The second animal, the second tomid, could be done actually all day. So the Gemara answer is no. Because if you say that the second animal could be all day, you're saying it could be done in the morning as well. To that we respond, the pasuk mentioned echod. It said echod asa baboker, not echod baboker, velo shnayim baboker. The pasuk is giving me only as an option only one to be done in the morning and not both. The Gemara asks, Neros dichtiv bein arbayim, regarding the lighting of the candelabra, you see the expression bein arbayim. Hochi nami de kol yoyim kosher, are you going to tell me that the whole day is fit? The Gemara says no. As far as the lighting of the candelabra, it cannot be done all during the whole day. And it's different. Shiny hosam dichtiv. The pasuk says in the lighting of the neros, me erev viad boker, v'tanya, Me'erev Adboker, the Tanaic source, takes this pasuk and explains. What do we learn from the pasuk that says Me'erev Adboker? And by the way, the entire pasuk says, but we'll continue without citing the entire pasuk. Let's go back to the source. Me'erev Adboker, Tein lo midasa. Put in the cups of oil that form the candelabra, put in it the proper amount. Shetehei doleches veleches. Me'erev Adboker, that it should be sufficient to burn from the evening till the morning. In other words, you have to make sure that you have enough oil in there. Dover acher, and this is more appropriate for our discussion. Ein lucha voidok shera me'erev v'ad boker elo zu bilvad. Namely, there is no avoda that can be done later than this one. Its time period is to be from the evening till the next morning, which basically tells us that this is the zman of the burning of the candles. Rashi at the bottom line says, "Ein lucha avoda me avodos shehen amuros bayom kagon avodos adam v'kimtzoy uktoras shiksherim mehadlokas neros ve'elech." None of the other Beis Hamikdash activities are allowed to be done later than this. In other words, this Shizu Meucheres Lekum, we're trying to say that this is the latest of the Beis Hamikdash daytime activities. We're telling you here that the time for this is the latest point in the day is when the Neros are lit. Hence, not during the morning. Keteres Dichtiv Bo Bein Horbayim. The Keteres that it says, there's a Keteres offering, this incense offering in the afternoon. Are you going to tell me that Bein Horbayim means Hochinami Dekuli Yom HaKosher, that the whole day is actually fit? To this we say, Shiny Keteres, the Iskish Leneros. The Keteres is different in that it is compared to the Neros, and just like we saw that the Neros are done at the latter part of the day and not in the morning, so too the Keteres. The Gemara asks, well, Hosam Nami, by the Pesach, it says, Shom Tizbach Es HaPesach Bo'erev. The Pesach is done Bo'erev. So how can you say that the whole day is its time? The Gemara answers, Hahu Liuchar Dovar Hu Diosa. The Bo'erev there is not telling me a time frame for the Pesach, but it's rather telling me a halacha, that in the event that you have a korban, it's telling me about the korban Pesach that it is to be done later than something else, and that something else is the tamid shel bein harbayim. That if you didn't shecht the korban Pesach until you reached the time of the tamid shel bein harbayim, then you have to do the tamid shel bein harbayim before you do the Pesach. The Pesach is pushed to be done later. Desanya. Yeucha dovar shenemar bo bo'erevu bein arbayim. You shall make later the Pesach, concerning which it says you have these two expressions in the Torah concerning the Pesach of bo'erev and bein arbayim, indicating making it later. L'davar shalonemar bo elo bein arbayim bilvad. Make it the Pesach later than a tomid concerning which you have the expression of bein arbayim alone. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.